Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast for episode 173. This is the Millrose recap episode. We are very happy to have Ollie back in the studio, as well as to be joined by the newly minted indoor mile world record holder, Jared the Goose. How you doing?
I'm feeling great. Good to be back.
I was just thinking before, do we have an applause sound effect? No, we don't, apparently. We have no, so I'll give you a clap. Man, crazy. Running the world record. I mean, we'll get into all that, but I guess we've had Jakob on the show before, so you're not our first world record holder.
I've also had Josh on the show.
Dude, wait, which record does he have?
Two mile.
Right.
We had him on before he was world record holder, though. Right? Yeah. Definitely.
Definitely for him. I wonder for Jakob. Did Jakob have any of his world records? He must have had some of them, or at least one from Paris or something. The 2K or something weird like that.
I think he had the 2 mile outdoor, didn't he?
Didn't he have the 15 indoor from like a while ago?
Yeah. Okay. I'd say
he must have.
When he came on, he was.
But nonetheless, to have someone that we've trained alongside for so many years, On's first world record holder,
yeah,
I believe, man, yeah. A lot of crazy things. And especially just the way it went down, you know, being the three-peat winner in the Wanamaker Mile, and after chasing it, like, you know, last year it was like 2 years ago, I don't remember if it was talked about at all. Last year it was definitely talked about, and you were just a little bit short. So then this year, finally getting it done, freaking sick. But before we get into all that, we do have, it was kind of previewed last week when Ollie told us how many bags of beans he got showered with at the Boston meet, but we do have a nice little bean shout out to start off this episode. But I mean, there's gonna be so many good roasteries in the Boston area, I imagine.
I wonder if they are all local. Surely they are. That one looks a little skimped.
This is the one that looks like
you've been enjoying that one.
In Boston. This is from Mike. I don't know how to say his last name because I don't know how it's written. I think it's G-A.
You're nailing this, Ollie.
Is it? Do you have any idea to pronounce that last
name?
Treehouse Coffee Company. Cheers, Mike.
Okay, George doesn't know either. But thanks, Mike G.
I'd like to have a try at his last name.
You want to have a try? It's because it looks like he's written two U's or two V's and then an I and an N. I don't know.
Yeah, no, you're going to have a go.
I didn't even look at it. It didn't seem that important.
I think it's Mike Gorvin.
Mike Gorvin. Ooh.
Jared, your turn.
Honestly, I'm feeling like Gavin. Galvin.
Galvin. Maybe. That's kind of what I was going for. Like a U and a V.
Yeah.
U-V-I-N.
Yeah,
yeah.
Galvin.
Galvin. Mike Galvin.
Cool last name.
Thanks, Mike. And then this one is from Jeff Thomas, and it is from the Coffee Exchange Roasting Coffee Daily. It's pretty good. And then this one came with a note, which had a lovely little message on it for us, but we're speedrunning. So Brendan and Kitty, they said, please bring back the In Gus We Trust t-shirt.
Sorry, it's never coming back.
Never coming back.
Nah, maybe it will, maybe it will.
This is from Broad Street Coffee Roasters. We went there, actually, in Boston.
How was it?
I feel like I remember that one too. And that one's a cool bag. These look fancy.
This one is. Oh,
we've had that before.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had this one.
I know that bag.
There's in the Corba Classic. Looks really good. Let me see if I can find a note because I know there's a note in here. Yep, found it. Oh, it's smudged.
I think it's on the back.
It is in the back. Thank you, Yard. Matt. Thanks, Matt. He is Donkatrick on the Discord.
What's that? What's the roastery for that one? The one we've had before?
I think it's
Fazenda?
Fazenda. I think that's the roastery.
Must be.
Because that's the name of the roast.
Mm-hmm. Are these from the same person?
Yeah.
I think they're
from the same person, the same bag. Morning Sports. Miles Mocha, Marathon Sports.
Hell yeah!
In Cambridge,
shout out to Marathon Sports.
He left the tag on, but
That looks like a running store, isn't it?
Is it a running store, a coffee that it carries coffee beans?
Marathon Sports.
We've been to this one too. We went there the very first Boston trip, I'm pretty sure. When we had the rental car and we got a ticket. Going to get coffee here, I'm pretty sure. If this is... It looks like the picture looks familiar on it.
You guys just know too much coffee.
We have a lot of coffee now, yeah, so we're stocked up for the next few weeks. But thank you for everyone for giving us the beans. In Boston, I was a bit worried in New York. I was like, fuck, if I get any more beans, I'm going to have to check another bag.
Heavy, real heavy, as it was. And a big shout out to Colin with the alias Coffee Beans. He's an internet friend of mine who got to meet Ollie in real life. Maybe one day we'll meet. But every Friday he messages me, happy Friday. So he really brightens my day.
That was the first thing he said to me. He said, is Morgan running anything indoors? So... He's very, very much wanting to catch up with you at some point.
And we do have one more final little coffee bean shout out.
Final bean shout out from great friend of the pod, Matt Mack, all the way from Flag. Single Speed Coffee Lab, which I've been going to since 20. Well, I shouldn't say I've been going because I haven't been in like 5 years. But I went regularly from 2015 till I left. These are some very nice beans. Actually, I've already had them a couple of times the last couple of days. They're delicious. Thanks, Matt. Also, good timing, seeing as we're going to Arizona this week, so very fortuitous.
Yeah. You can go visit Single Speed Coffee yourself.
Maybe I will.
When you sneak away to Flag.
I do plan on beating Flag at some point this week.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Well, thank you guys so much for all the beans. Thank you, Ollie, for bringing them back, the pounds of beans in the bag. Yeah, George and I are very sad that we didn't get to be in Boston to meet all these lovely fans, but thank you so much for coming out and supporting both at Boston and at Millrose. Both of them, we saw some really cool merch out there. I really like the now at meets, especially on the East Coast. I mean, all across America, all across the world, but people make our merch look pretty cool in the pictures I see. Like, they dress it up and they look pretty swaggy in it, so looks damn good. But yeah, getting into Millrose, I think probably the best way, we'll go somewhat chronological. The couple of days leading into the race, how was the vibes out there? Obviously, Yara, you were there a day early for the press conference.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, the vibes felt pretty good. I think I got to hang out with some of the Boston people when they got there a little earlier than everyone who wasn't in Boston. Seemed like you guys had a really fun time and just, you know, not annoying at all to anyone whatsoever.
Well,
it sounds like there's some more to that story. Yeah.
I mean, that's what happened in Boston. I don't know what happened exactly, but
I can add on to that later.
But no, New York felt really fun. I always love going back to New York for the Armory. I just feel like, as far as big cities go, like, New York is definitely one of my favorites. And you know, the weather was like more crummy than usual. It's still, I was like, it's still New York. You know, it's like a fun time.
New York vibes.
Yeah.
Very cool.
How did you... I heard some story about how you got to New York, which was a different way than everyone else got to New York.
Yeah. So
how that happened?
So I booked a flight with... Because I just booked everything at once. So then I booked a flight from Boston to New York, which was actually like a 45-minute flight, and it was pretty chill. And it just like didn't really add much into the price of anything, which really doesn't matter because I... flights get covered, but because of the weather, it got delayed continuously. And once I got in the air, we circled around New York for an hour and then landed. So by the time I left and then I got in, was the same time that Maya, Robert, Sage and Cinta got in with the train, which was a 4-hour train. So honestly, it was just bad luck. Like, I would have got in super early and was able, like, I didn't even get to get my run in. I had to like rush to my haircut appointment.
Where did you have a haircut booked?
So Robert showed me this cool place. It was like a Japanese barbershop in Soho, and
that's important.
It was pretty sick, and my hair was looking a bit scruffy. Dathan commented, "I looked pretty shit in Boston." So
that was his comment.
He kind of just said, "Yeah, your hair doesn't look great right now." So I was like, I was talking to Robert.
Dathan knows a lot about hair.
I was like, the nerve.
Well, you set the bar pretty high last year.
Yeah, so. I got to keep up appearances. But Robert, as I think is with probably some of the best hair on the team, gave me an advice. He said, I went to this place last time I was in New York and it was amazing, pretty cool experience.
And I went there and it was like pretty awesome. It was like a whole like Japanese, like the people that worked in there with Japanese, and it was all in Japanese. And you go in, you sit in these old fashioned seats and they play jazz music and the lighting's pretty chill. And they wash your hair, give you a head massage, cut your hair. And I got a low taper kind of fade on the sides and then kept the back and the top.
Low taper fade.
Yeah, a little bit of it. That's what Robert asked me. He said, you get a low taper fade.
I didn't even notice you had a haircut. Got a
low taper fade.
So I just, I got it cleaned up because the sides were a bit messy, but then I left the back and then the top. So, and then went to dinner. So it was a bit of a stressful trip in, but definitely the few days before, Miro's when we were in Boston, we got a shout out, Gibby. Fan of the pot. He pushed me up on the Australian ranking scales just because I spent time.
I heard
time
about
with him.
This,
but I think that will switch as soon as Morgan sees Gibby again. He does love Morgs.
He said that, but this is the message that came to me. So Coach Gibby is the Harvard coach for anyone that doesn't know. Loves running 6 minute miles. His guy's running 6 minute miles, and he put me down at number 3 on his favorite Australian list. Ollie is currently sitting at number 1. Lyndon Hall is at number 2, but he said that I could rise to the rankings if I sent him a Coffee Club t-shirt. So it's like, that's blackmail, you know?
He did say that. But also, I also felt pretty bad for in general, like, we have another Australian on the team that needs to get into those rankings.
Kai?
And hopefully Kai can get into the Gibby rankings at some point. But the few days we had in between were pretty chill. The weather was really bad.
Classic Boston
weather where...
Grey. Do you see the sun at all?
Briefly, me and Robert ran a double, and I kid you not, it was one of the worst runs of my life. Like Robert wore like 4 or 5 layers with the puffer jacket, and he like strapped everything to his head, so he looked like he was about to go skiing. Like it was that cold, and he and I were definitely annoying the absolute shit out of the women the entire time. Like we kept making Borat references. We kept just saying random shit that came into our heads, and it was definitely irritating the ladies. So I know they were looking forward to getting to New York and creating some sort of separation there between us because we were definitely annoying them. But the lead up into it was pretty nice, and we have to shout out Gibby for letting us use the facilities, because if we didn't have access to those, it would have been a pretty miserable couple of days before getting into New York.
So did you ever work out on the Harvard track midweek?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a nice track, huh?
It's a pretty nice track. Everybody was on it. We saw the OEC Europe guys on it.
A lot of people were staying in Boston because a lot of people even did 2 races in Boston across those 2 weekends as well.
Saw Jonas and Jakob Butera and a few other guys from the Europe team that I don't really know.
They have some new people that we haven't met.
Yeah. Mm. And then the assistant coach was there.
Was Cam Myers in Boston for the week?
No.
Where'd he go?
I think he was already in New York. But Jimmy was there. Massive fan of the podcast. definitely helping him with his English. But it was a pretty nice track. Honestly, that track is nicer than probably the New Balance Boston track.
Really?
Yeah. Like I think what hurts the New Balance Boston track is the hydraulics. I think that in general just doesn't help any track, because it's just running on the Harvard track on pre-meet. With the ladies and with Robert before when we ran at New Balance, like you just the difference is like, wow, like this track is older and definitely not as maintained as well, but it's just way nicer to run on. But yeah, we did a pre-race workout there. It was pretty nice.
Lovely.
how do we feel about staying out there for the week? You think you'd do that again? Think it works well, or do you think you would rather?
I think for the time frame, it makes sense. I would just not race New Balance. Like, I think like in general,
that's,
like
that's the big takeaway. Yeah.
Like, yeah, like New Balance is great. And I actually had a very positive race in New Balance. But leading into like hearing the situation for a lot of people coming out of Boston to New York, people either had a really bad race in Boston then raced better in Miro's, or they had a really bad race in Miro's and raced better in New Balance. So like, I think just the time frame of it being so close, it's like maybe focusing more on one than the other is probably the most ideal situation. And it's nice being there. We were very fortunate for Maya, like being a local there. Like she took us to all the coffee shops, like good restaurants. Like we were very much looked after. But definitely living in that kind of limbo between two big races, it was a bit weird. I don't know if I would race. Like it's different if you're traveling over here from Australia, for example. I know Stewie was in Boston for a bit as well. But if you can just go back to Boulder and then reset or just race one of them and just really prepare well for it, I think that's like the way to go this time around for me personally. But I did enjoy the trip. It was nice. I got to spend a lot of time with Cinta, Sage and Maya and Robert, which is like a nice group where we got to spend some quality time together outside of the running, and that was fun. So definitely enjoyed that part of it.
Yeah, I think the weather really seemed like it hurt you guys, because when we were in Boston last year for the 5K, I mean, I remember the weather being real nice.
Very nice.
like super nice. And I think that's such a big difference. I think we get spoiled here. I mean, even here in Boulder, when the weather's not good during the winter, it's like, running sucks. But I think the winters here are so much more mild compared
to
how the winter
here as well.
Can feel.
Boston's hard to run, like anywhere. Yeah. Yeah. It's just very, very hard.
There's no soft surface.
Yeah. And even the places where they salt it, it's still very icy and it's very, very miserable running outside. So.
Fair enough, fair enough.
But yeah.
Fair. Well, Jumbo Forest in New York, how did it feel when you guys walked in and saw the blue track? Was it like, did it look sweet? Or was it kind of like, whoa, this is the Armory?
I feel like it kind of looked a little wrong, like the very first time we stepped into it, because I was just like, whoa. Like, yeah. The Armory just has like an old aesthetic and vibe to it. And seeing this like very new, bright blue track is just like, oh, that's like different. And especially with like the sprinter's track is still like red.
So
it's kind of just like, I don't know, like you kind of see what it used to look like just on the infield, and then this like very new track, and then everything else is like the same. Mm-hmm. It was like a little jarring at first, but still, I mean, it was fast. So
Good. Did it feel different?
Like, I don't think it actually felt different.
I think it felt the same. The thing with indoor tracks though is this track is not hydraulic. And any track that's not hydraulic, when you run around the bend, it just feels way more like rigid. So for me,
Armory has the smoothest bends.
Yeah, for me going around it, I was like, wow, this is really nice pace and rhythm compared to like, I feel like the Boston one, you can definitely feel the hydraulic, just like the dun, 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 dun. And then you get to the flat. Whereas when you run on the Midwest track, it felt much more smooth, yeah. I think.
I feel like I always liked the Armory track, like even before it was redone, but it didn't feel like, oh, like, they kept talking about it, how like, oh, it's now just like one surface instead of five. It still felt like the same good Armory track.
Yeah, I can't believe that it felt good. It doesn't make sense to me that it felt so good before having five layers. I don't know, like, did you hear about that, Ollie?
Yeah.
On the broadcast, they were telling about saying how they had to remove five layers worth of track. I'm like, how can a track possibly feel good if you have it stacked up five times? But I guess...
So was it just way thin in it?
I don't know if I really believe them, to be honest. Like, surely that's like doesn't really make sense.
I mean, they were talking, like, they talked about it a lot in the press conference and whatnot. They were just like, yeah, it's just like more cost efficient and like quicker to just like put a new layer on top, and you basically get the same effect, they said,
really?
Basically.
Interesting.
But like after a certain amount of times, and like, yeah, you start to feel it, but apparently just like five doesn't feel that different from one, but... They were hyping it up like it did, but I don't know.
Do they do that on outdoor tracks? Just
sure
lay another one on top?
Sure they do.
They do it
probably,
Niwot.
Yeah.
There's like patches of Niwot that just lay it over.
Really?
And then like my local track back home in Australia, they've definitely layered over that multiple times.
I guess it would have to be
times.
So much more cost effective
yeah.
to do that.
Then to rip it out and restart would be very, very much more cost effective.
That's crazy. Was there anything from the press conference that we missed? Any good hot takes or anything?
No, honestly, I felt like it was pretty chill as far as, like, press conferences go. And I didn't even get, like, a fun word to say. Like, usually Colin's there, and he'll be like, all right, get, like, Pikachu is in there at some point. But no one really was there with me, so I was kind of just like, ah, it's boring, normal press conference.
I got to just answer these questions.
So it was pretty standard. I feel like me and Josh and Cole and Grant were all pretty, like, chill and just like, we're here, first race of the season, basically, want to run good. Yeah, like, I don't know. Nothing crazy really happened, at least not that I saw.
Fair. Yeah, I saw that. I think they weren't they kind of asking everyone about the world records, and I think everyone was really smart in their answers, saying like, oh, I'm just trying to race.
No, yeah, they asked both me and Josh in like in different ways, but because I kind of said I was just like, oh, I don't want to jinx it this time, because like every I think the first year was like I wanted the American record, and then we just like ended up really close to the world record. And then the second year I was like, oh yeah, this is like the one thing I want to do. But, you know, with Josh in the race and, you know, just like having learned from last year a little bit, I think I was kind of just like, I'm not going to say I'm going to break the record. I'm just going to let it happen, maybe. And if it doesn't, that sucks. And if it does, cool.
Amazing. Yeah, yeah. Did they talk about the world record for the 3K guys? Were you there? Did you listen to the 3K press conference?
Yeah, we were on the stage at the same time. Okay. I don't think they did.
Yeah.
No, I think it was kind of more just like, oh, this is going to be like a really good race between the American record. And yeah, like a good race between Grant and Cole was like the biggest highlight.
The pace changed four or five times.
For the 3K?
Yeah. It was
did it get faster?
It got faster and faster, and then Grant wanted it even quicker. Mm. I think he wanted it around 4:54, and then he wanted it quicker than that. And then
4:54?
Yeah.
And no, then, he didn't.
Yeah, and then Ray...
And then he wanted it quicker than that. I don't believe that for one second.
And then Ray's just like, well, if he wants to go quicker than that, they can just close the last K. Because at that point, I think...
I think they said they were pretty happy with the pace.
Yeah, because like they had the two paces, and they were starting off... I think around 5:02, 5:03. And then it went down to 4:58. And then it went down to 4:54 for the pacing.
4:54 is outrageous.
And like, I remember hearing that and thinking like, dude, like, I think I'm pretty sure most of the top 3Ks I've watched have gone through in like 5:05. Yeah. Like it was going to be almost 10 seconds quicker than... And so I was like, damn, that's going to be kind of insane. And I know everyone's going to try and go for it. But... Yeah, I mean, ended up, the pacing was pretty amazing for them, I think. And having those two, I think it was Casey and Jack Salisbury, I think, were the pacers.
They were amazing.
They did a very, very good job. So
I think this is a good time to segue into the 3K, because we'll go through the meet.
That was like the first event.
Chronologically, right? The 3K was the first one out of our inner circle of people in our team racing. And
that is surprising they haven't brought wave lights to Milrose. I love it that they haven't. But all the European ones have wave lights.
There were wave lights last year.
Were they?
Were they?
I feel like there definitely were.
Yeah, there was.
I was never on them.
But they're not. They weren't.
There wasn't. Wait. There wasn't this year, right?
They weren't in the track, though.
I didn't see them.
They were outside the track. So, okay. Like,
I didn't see
for,
any
for the out, for outdoors, they have them, like, in the rail.
Yeah.
Whereas for the indoor track, they have them, like, on the outside.
Like, well, on the inside outside. I think last year they had that, like, flashing one.
Oh, did they?
Where it's, like, not the nice wave.
I don't like that one.
It's, like, the one where it's, like, like just round the track. I feel like that was last year. I don't think that helped.
No.
Yeah. But getting into 3K, so you knew the pace was going to be very quick, and you knew that a lot of people, well, in particular Grant, was going to get on it, and there was going to be people that were, you know, up to chase him. How did you feel about that? Were you of the mindset of, let's go chase it, or were you more like, oh, I'll see how I feel?
I was in the mindset of, like, get on... Grant and Cole, and then just like hang on for as long as you can. That was like pretty much all Dathan told me before the race. And my kind of viewpoint was like, okay, like if I can get as close as I can to 7:30, that would be a really good day. Mm-hmm. So I mean, the race, it was extremely rushed. Like I think I hadn't run a 3K since 2019 or 2018 at Indiana track when I was in college, and I think I ran like 7:48 or something like that.
Yeah.
So this was the first time in a while that I've run the 3K, and I honestly forgot how it would go. And I'm so used to the mile. The mile is very, very chill. Like you get out there, you have a lot of time, and they stride you through and they kind of line you up and then you go. 3K, we were rushed out in the track, and that's why I think a false start happened. People weren't actually prepared to line up. And then when the gun went off, I got a really good start. I got behind, I think I was behind Cole or Grant, and then the classic thing these days is everyone just wants to pass everyone, so everyone wants the right position. So then Stewie and Cooper passed me, then Kai passed me, then Dylan passed me, and I'm like, fuck, you kidding? So then I was back in like 6th or 7th, and then from there, Stewie and Cooper started to drop off from the pace. Kai went on it, Dylan went on it, then I went on it, and then I went through 2K in like 5 minutes. And then from that, from 5 laps to go, it was just like the most uncomfortable, shitty experience I've ever had in a race. Like definitely like my, toes are all kind of blistered up a bit. And I just felt pretty, pretty shit for the rest of the race. And, yeah, and I, it just wasn't probably one of the worst races I've done as a professional athlete, but seeing what how Dylan and Kai managed to run a 7:30 race like the way that they did proves to me, I guess, as teammates of them, that they can run under 7:30 for sure if it was paced more appropriately for them, because they ran it the hardest possible way. Like,
well, they were kind of like Dylan was
in nowhere. He was in the middle of nowhere.
More even compared, like, his pacing was a little more even.
He caught up to Kai, and then Kai said that once Jimmy and Cooper came back, Dylan went out, and then Kai's like, "You beauty," and then cut through right at the finish to come back. But like, they kind of worked together near the end to try and just keep it going. But Dylan was much more consistent, like you said. Like, but he was on his own. Like, it was very impressive where he was. And then Kai, like, literally was with Cole.
I think Kai went through 2K with Grant and Cole, yeah. Which means I think they went through in 4:58.
I think he said like maybe 800 or 600 to go. That's when he fell off. Yeah. And he was like really hurting. But like the way that they ran it
once the pacemakers dropped off.
Yeah. The way that they ran it was really impressive for Kai and Dylan, because that was a very difficult way to run that, where you have either you're running world record pace or you're running 7:30 pace on your own.
It was hard to see on the broadcast what was happening for like Dylan, for example, once he dropped, because he was obviously not that far back. I mean, but on an indoor track, like 8 seconds seems
like a lot.
Even though it's not. I mean, he's still running around 7:30 pace the whole time. And yeah, it was an interesting race because everything was so focused in the front, because you had Grant freaking as soon the pacemakers, as we already said, absolutely amazing. I was so impressed at the way that they were able to take them through 1800, 2K. I think it's even maybe 2K or somewhere around there. And then, yeah, they went through so fast, but then Grant was ready to like push. I think he was very intentional about it. And then that was when Kai started to just, you know, give them like a bit of a meter or so. And then they just increased the pushing with 3 laps to go. Was when Cole came past and took the lead, which I was like, what is going on right now? Because, you know, they're already running so fast. So if someone's like overtaking someone and they're speeding off, you're like, okay, what the fuck are they about to run here? Is this going to be, there's going to be something crazy. And you just wouldn't expect it from Cole, because it's just like the obvious move is to sit in. And I think it was really impressive that he made that move. Maybe, I don't know, probably to win the race, it would have been obviously like smart.
Not a good move to win the race.
Yeah, smarter to sit in, you could probably say. But either way, clearly he wanted to try something. He was feeling good enough to do it, which is amazing. And then Grant wasn't able to pass him again until I think it was the final 50 meters.
Yep. Yeah.
So it was so close. Both of them breaking the previous world record by 2 seconds, running crazy times. And just like, yeah, it was amazing to see the front. But then unfortunately it meant that, yeah, you couldn't really see what was happening at the back, because you hadn't seen, there was the pack of four that all ran 7:30, which was Jimmy was third, Kai, Dylan, Cooper. So all like massive names, amazing athletes. But
that's,
I would have
terrible
loved,
fucking coverage.
I would have
that
loved
they don't
to see
show
how like their battle played out, because they all raced it in different ways.
Yeah, Jimmy and Nicole ran it really smart, where they actually dropped off the pace, and then the last Cooper, K they like closed really hard. And they caught Dylan, and then they caught Kai with like maybe one or two laps to go.
I had no idea until today when I was joking about it with Dylan that he was in front of Kai at one point in the race.
Yeah.
I just assumed that, like, from watching it, that he was kind of always catching him and he like just didn't catch him.
I think Dylan was in position to get third at one point, and then they swamped him at the end. So, I mean, yeah, it was very entertaining for that mid-pack to see who would come on top, because there was two different races happening from people like closing really hard and people just hanging on to try and finish.
Yeah,
it was entertaining, and they never fucking show it.
Yeah, but it was, I guess it was hard to, and there was so much focus on what was going down at the front with the leaders breaking the world record, just running bananas times. But yeah, I don't think you should be too hard on yourself. I think it's like you went through 2K in 5 minutes or around there, and it's like, and then you fell for a bit. It's like it's a 3K. It's fine.
It's just I think when I reflected on it a lot more, I didn't do one workout where I was working out with Kai and Dylan for the 3K. I did all my workouts I did with Jared and Robert. So I was pretty...
But like, they're more training. They're training their 5K, 10K.
Yeah, but I'm also like, if I'm training for a 3K, I need to work on a bit of something that's probably going to help me with the 3K. And I would have loved to do that mile time trial and then those Ks, the workout that you guys did last week. And we weren't able to do a post race workout after the race, the 1500 race. And I came off that race like feeling like I'd done nothing. So I felt like that was a bit of a missed opportunity not to be able to do a post race workout. But at the end of the day, you can only get in what you can. But I felt like my training, I think I was very underprepared for that race. And I'd have much preferred, I think, to do the mile and hopefully going under 350 again for this time indoors. But it is what it is, you know. I mean, seeing Kai and Dylan and how they've trained and how they've prepared for that race, it's like very inspiring. And it's also a great testament to like what they want to achieve this year. Like, I reckon they'll run at like 12:50 or quicker in the 5K just from watching how they race that. Particularly how hard it was that they made it for themselves once the pace has got to a point where you're not kind of feeling like you're getting, you're building momentum, you're kind of just hanging on. So they're going to run something pretty insane in Boston next time around, which I think is like in two and a bit weeks. But yeah, no, I mean, like, I just need to, I had two conversations with Dathan. I don't think they were very productive conversations, but at the end of the day, like, I think training is just something that's completely on you at this point. And I'm very, very focused. Dathan questioned if I was hungry for wanting to compete and to race, which kind of hurt my feelings. But, I mean, why would you not be hungry if you're a professional athlete and you've been training this whole time to go and race? So, and particularly seeing your teammates crush it too. So, but either way, we move on. And I'm looking forward to Scottsdale. I think Scottsdale is going to be really fun. I'm testing out a new training that is going to be really interesting. I think two other people, double threshold.
That's a big reveal right there.
Yeah. Me, I know Kai's doing it as well, but I don't know who else. I don't know if Dylan's got it or not, but me and Kai were talking about it after the race. Because we looked at our training.
I bet you.
I hope
no,
not.
No, he said only a select few people are doing it.
Oh, thank God.
I think a lot of people are doing it.
A select few.
Yeah, I think select a lot of people few. Do that.
Well, he told me a select few people are trialing it. That's what he told me. But then Kai told me he's doing it, and then I'm sure Joe is doing it. I think, Morgan, you're doing it.
I guess we'll find out on Thursday. It's funny you're making it sound like a big secret.
Joe's not doing it.
I think almost everyone else is doing it.
Really?
Yeah.
So Yara's doing it as well?
I don't know about Yara.
I don't check that far ahead of my finals there.
Just check this coming week. It's just Thursday.
If I was
this Thursday, I bet you
that you at least have a double workout.
Yeah,
workout.
Check this Thursday.
That's still just as bad. Like, I just don't like the idea of doing two workouts.
Yeah.
Check your final surge on Thursday.
You just hit the world record. Why would you change honestly, what you're doing?
I'm curious. I'll check.
Thursday and final surge. But yeah, no, I'm excited for Scottsdale. I think Scottsdale is going to be a really good place to get.
Do you think double threshold is the answer?
No, I don't think so. I think Dathan's trialing something.
That is what I thought I was hearing as well.
I'm excited to try something new, but I'm also excited that because Scottsdale is a good place to train. So
what is it?
Yeah, I don't have it, but I am doing like a little, basically like extra strides or something in the afternoon that Thursday.
Double mini workout.
Kind of. Yeah, I don't know.
Because that's what Cynthia's doing as well.
Okay, yeah. Then. But I don't know. I'm just anti doing a lot of threshold in general because I know it's important and you got to do it. But like after a certain point, especially like the longer sessions we have, I'm just like, like, we did, like, 4x2K the other day.
Two mile.
Yeah, that was just like, God damn.
What's your optimal amount of threshold?
I think, like, it needs to be, like, smaller pieces, and it's, like, max, like, 7 miles.
Would you be open to doing 400 repeats at, like, a threshold pace?
400? What?
Like 20x400?
I mean, 20.
Yeah.
I guess that's, yeah, if you're going.
7 miles. No, that's less. That's well less. Less than 400 makes it sound like you have to run so much more.
I know. Like when you're like 2400, it's like, holy shit. But
you stop and then you go again. You stop. Like, I don't know if you prefer just to have
honestly,
a shorter rep.
I think my body might prefer that just because like, I like, I'm all about just increasing and decreasing speed. I can't like run a stable pace for that long, as you guys probably
know
from experience.
Like fartleks.
No, fartleks don't
do
it for me.
And he just says it's all about increasing and decreasing speeds.
Like, fartleks are different though, because it's just like hard and hard versus like, you know, hard break.
Fair.
But I don't know. I trust Dathan though.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
fair. So I'm hearing 7 by 1 mile is your perfect threshold workout.
I think so. Yeah, that kind of does it.
1 mile just like doesn't feel too long, I feel.
That's the point. Yeah.
I think that's the perfect balance of doesn't feel too long, but you get enough work. You get enough volume in that 1 mile that you don't have to do freaking 30 reps of them.
Mm. Yeah.
It is nice.
Well, was a great training segment, right?
I was wondering.
I hope everyone is feeling really educated by that.
I was wondering when the big reveal was that we were going to do double threshold disc. Dude, it's in 3 days.
It's literally in 3 days.
Yeah, but I wasn't expecting it to come from Ollie's race recap was actually going to be the double threshold reveal.
Well, yeah, it's more this. I'm excited for Scottsdale and for training. And I don't know how, I mean, double threshold at sea level. Yeah, in Scottsdale, I think it's a good place to start. I know, it's a good place to start, though, because then if it's, like, really bad and everyone fucking sucks at it, then it's like, okay, we're not going to do it.
Mm-hmm. So. Okay, so act like it sucks. Got it. That's what I'm going to do.
But you're not doing it, so you don't have to act like that unless you pretend.
Yarrett should definitely be doing this. I think he'd get way fitter right now. He told me he wants to do it. But, yeah, Ollie, I think we move on. I'm sure, especially just... Yeah, indoors comes at you real quick as well. Like, it's like you come back from our little Christmas time off, and it's like, shit, you're racing in a month or less if you go into Boston. So it does come around. We still got so much more time in this year, so I wouldn't be too hard on yourself. But Kaya Dillon, congratulations to them. Not that they listen to this podcast, but I'm very happy to see our young teammates out there thriving, because as Ollie mentioned, we've seen them crushing it since they joined the team, and it's been awesome to watch. And shout out to Grant's girls. That's definitely his first world record.
I asked Grant about a certain Nike announcement that we might get into later. And he said that, I said, oh, did they ask you about it, or like give any of you any feedback or any ideas on like creative ideas that you could have helped them out with? And he said, oh, they didn't approach me. I'm not interested in that sort of stuff anymore.
He's an independent.
And then I couldn't find my spikes.
Seems pretty obvious based on the world record.
And then I couldn't find my spikes, and he said, hey, I have a spare pair if you want to wear them.
Did he really?
Yeah, and I said, oh, I don't know if I can get away with that.
I don't think he needs a new situation. Yeah, world record by Grant and Oceania record by Kai.
Oh, yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah. Cam Meyer's record didn't last long.
Yeah, no, it did not.
And Yarrett is down another record. How do you feel about that? Your American record.
Yeah, you replace, you get one, you lose one. It's fine.
Well, you gained a
world record.
No. You weren't that attached to that.
Honestly, because it was like so long ago. It's like 2 years ago at this point. Was. And, you know, like, I feel like I remember like talking about that with Dathan at some point. He was like, oh, like we'll go for the American record. I'll be like, oh, what is it? And he's like, it's 7:28. You ran it. And I was like, oh, yeah, right.
when you did run that, that was probably the most like unassumed like American record that's ever been run. Because I'm on your team. I'm your teammate. I didn't even know that it was a thing that you were going to go do that Saturday in Boston or Friday, whatever it was.
I mean, it was kind of just like, oh, like we'll run the race, see how we feel, and just kind of go for it vibes. It wasn't like especially being like my first, I guess, real race after having some like good training with the team. It was kind of just like, you know, the expectations weren't really there. So like it didn't really get hyped up, and then it just kind of happened. I did get that side duck out of it, but you know.
You get that the bet out of me, yeah.
Nice. Also just one final little shout out to Cole. Pretty crazy for Cole to be like in that kind of shape running 7:23. His training's working as well, I guess. Nah, whatever they're doing over in, is it Blacksburg or something?
Yeah, downhill threshold in the treadmill.
Can we talk about the insights into their training that we received? We don't have to expose who gave it to us. Do you want to say what they did?
Him
and Cooper?
I'm not confident in recreating what happened.
Okay, the only thing that I know that I heard that they did in training, do you know when this was? Like a month ago or something?
Maybe a few months ago.
A few months ago, is they did, him and Colin Cooper did an 8-minute 2-mile on the Boost treadmill.
8-minute 2-mile.
Yes.
What was the Boost percentage at?
I don't know about that.
So it was just mostly about like rolling the legs, getting the legs like to move over really fast.
So like, it is way easier to run fast than that, but that's just a crazy thing to just the picture. Just like let's go to low gravity and just sprint.
You see that on your final search? world record 2 mile, but at 80% body weight.
Yeah, it's probably actually not that hard, I guess. I mean, also, like, if you, what can you do? You're locked in. You have to run.
It's like
can't stop.
I mean, I just feel like you just, I don't know. At a certain point, you just kind of like, just too much. Just lift your legs. I don't know. I've never really done it, ran on the boost or whatever,
jumping.
But
jumping up and down.
Whatever they're doing is working. That's for sure. Yeah, running under the world record and coming second. Tough pill to swallow, but you also ran 27:23, so probably feels pretty good still.
Yeah. So next one, right, I think it was right after that was the women's eight, which was a crazy race because there was about 12 women out there on a small indoor track. It was just carnage. Sage did run an indoor PB. Did she run two flat?
Two flat.
So, but she was back in, was she fifth?
That sounds right.
Fifth.
Fifth or sixth.
I think it was a solid race for her, but it was a choppy race, I think, in terms of trying to go around people. So just a classic indoor 800, I think a lot of them.
I think five girls were too flat, maybe more. It was just like big blanket finish after the leader.
A lot of them were like that. And the next one for our team was the women's 3K, which had Josette and Olivia, which was an exciting race. I think I heard from Olivia that the pace wasn't quite as hot as they wanted it to be. I think they're about 5 seconds off at halfway. I think they wanted 67s, so a bit under that 8:30 pace, doing quick maths.
Yeah, the pacer was really struggling at the beginning. Really? I think her watch didn't start or something because every 100 meters, she kept like messing with her watch. Like it was like she was trying to get it going or she kept checking it at like not a split, like just a random bit along the track. I felt bad for her.
Just making sure the GPS was connected.
Yeah, I think that way it's one of those moves.
It uploads.
I don't know why it didn't just start a stopwatch or something, but I think so. I think the first couple of laps were...
Oh, it was on GPS and it said she was running like 9 minute miles and she's like, what the fuck is going on?
That can't be right.
She was trying to pace it based off the mile pace that it said,
And it was connected to GPS, but it couldn't get through the building.
Yeah.
I think eventually she got around on the right pace, but I think the start suffered a little bit.
But it was a super, super exciting race because there was a big pack. And sorry, I didn't even mention Sige, our other teammate.
Yes.
Who just came back to the US, who was in the race as well, because I think once the pacemaker dropped off, it was Sige that went to the front and tried to keep it going. But it was a big pack still there with five or six women. Olivia was kind of hanging on the back. Like, I mean, they were running fast, so she was looking real good. But especially from our standpoint, I think Josette was like, you could tell she was ready to go. And then she unleashed a massive kick in that last 400 on the second last lap. And I thought she had it.
It was such a sick move.
It was
she put like at least 5 meters on the field.
It blew apart the race. And I mean, it was such a change of pace. But then Whitney Morgan, that last lap was, I think her last lap was a 28 or 29, like something unreal.
Yeah, she came back pretty, because Josette had, like you said, like a big...
28.9.
It was 28.
That is flying. Because
the thing is, it's not like Josette was closing her last lap slow.
No, she was
still running really fast, but 28.
Yeah, Josette went 31:31.
Yeah.
Which is...
That wins a lot of races.
Yeah, it wins a lot. Whitney went 31:28. Yeah. Dude, that's so fast. Yeah. For a second, I was like, oh, maybe Josette went too early. And then I just realized that it
Whitney
wasn't...
was running
it
away.
It didn't matter. Like, Whitney was flying either way.
Yeah.
Surprised Whitney didn't go with it then. She must have just went, like, timed it perfectly for her. Just be like, okay, now time to go, you know?
Yeah.
Having the confidence to do that.
Might have even surprised her.
Yeah, having the confidence to do that, though, was impressive. Because if she went with Josette, maybe she wouldn't have had that kick, you know?
Yeah.
But she definitely timed it perfectly.
Both rewarded by breaking 8:30, though.
Yeah.
That's kind of a cool barrier.
That was PB for Josette.
Mm-hmm. 8:29.
Second, I think that was her third second place at Mirrors, which is very... Mirrors is...
It's hard to win those races, man, particularly with how stacked they are now. Like, I mean, when Alicia won the 3K, she ran an American record. Like, 8:25, right? Yeah, like, most races for the 3K and the mile the past few years have been breaking either meet records, facility records, world leads, world records.
At times, world records.
Yeah, so if you're winning those races, you're one of the best in the world.
Yeah, and I think all three of our women in the race did PB, so that was pretty awesome to see.
Yeah, Sige, 8:33.
Yeah.
PB. They kept saying on the broadcast it was her first indoor race.
Since 2019.
It was something crazy like that.
I think she's done one before. I think it was like...
It had been ages. Yeah. And was her last race like a half marathon?
Yeah.
Well...
Didn't she run Valencia?
Yeah, I think she did. And I know she's doing a half marathon. Like
she's doing another one, now.
So why not just squeeze a little? Just getting ready for
Grand Slam. They're just training them as long runs.
Yeah.
And Olivia, 8:37.
Yeah, a nice little PB for her, which got to feel pretty good as well. So that was a very exciting race. It was cool to see a woman do well there. And then the men's 800, I think I was annoyed at the commentators. That's my main takeaway, because they were not respecting Hoey at all. They were so I'm not sure if they just haven't, okay, I think they probably haven't been paying that much attention to the races lately and realize like the form that Hoey's been in, because all they wanted to talk about was Bryce Hoffel. Like, it was one of those ones where you get annoyed where you're like, they're like, Hoey's winning the race and he's like, and Hoffel's not catching him. They're like, dude, what's wrong with Bryce? Like, why is he not doing it?
They did the same thing to Kai though. Yeah. They only talked about Grant and Cole, literally. And then at some point, some guy goes, also the talented Australian, Kai Roxas, he's been on the frame this whole time. You haven't even mentioned him.
Yeah. So,
sorry. I just also remembered that. They only want to talk about like
the big names.
The things they already have planned.
Yeah.
They probably have
notes on it.
They probably have notes on just specific people. Mm. But like, if you're making also, notes on this 800, like Hoey has been.
Well, he's American record in the 1K. Fire. He beat me and Grant at Boston and did it pretty convincingly.
Fourth at USA's last year in the 800. He's been crushing it. So it was like, and then the commentator actually tried to save herself after the race, because she was like, oh, that's why Bryce couldn't go with him, because he just broke the American record.
You know who the commentator was?
Sonia Richards Ross.
I thought it was Kerry Gacha. Wasn't she the commentator?
She was doing the distance events, I think.
Oh, so she didn't do midday. I was going to say, because she's usually pretty good. She's usually like pretty broad. I didn't realize they had different commentators
she said
for the
midday. Wait, can I just bring this one up? She said that she tried to say something bad about Yared. She's like, the only thing that's you can say bad about Yared is his tactics. And I'm like,
wow.
Like, why did you say that? Like, what did he do to make you say that? Like,
is she saying that because you didn't win the Olympics?
I mean, I guess.
I think his tactics have worked out pretty well for the last. His whole career.
I was going to say,
I think I'm at least like more good than bad.
I was going to say, you did like win some pretty big races last season on tactics.
But it was just out of nowhere. And like, you were just like running behind the pacemaker looking amazing. It's like,
was it Sonia or Kara?
That was Kara. Oh. Yeah. It was like, what else is Yara going to do? He's going to run behind the pacemaker and then probably speed up or hold the pace.
Yeah.
It's like,
I also did not realize they were running that fast though in the eight.
The eight is like indoor eights are just weird.
It was over so quickly, and like I guess I wasn't paying attention to the splits, but I was just watching the race, and then all of a sudden it was 1:43. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
it was very quick.
What is the, do you guys know what the world record is for the indoor 800? I feel like not that many.
1:42.67.
Seriously?
Oh, that's very quick.
Wow. That's crazy.
1997?
Who ran that?
Wilson?
It is Wilson Kipketer.
That's crazy. Dude,
that's so, oh my gosh.
I didn't know it was possible to go that fast around an indoor track.
That must have been a small
track.
It's
definitely
too.
Harder to run.
1997, there's no way that was 200 meters, right?
It's
or maybe it was.
It's very, I reckon there's a certain sweet spot where you can run really, really fast indoors, but I reckon 800 is not the sweet spot.
I think
800, if you're running 1:43 indoors, you're probably like 1:42 shape.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's so much harder to run fast indoors for the eight.
Is Josh, how are we going to freaking medal it? Is he going to win Worlds this year?
He's on track right now.
I mean, it is February, but yes.
I feel like that definitely like solidifies. That race is like, now people are like, okay, yeah. Like, I mean, it took like three races indoors for it to happen, but I feel like now it's like you can't ignore him. Like,
well, is he going to go to, I guess if he goes to World Indoors, he's probably going to be
the favorite. Right? Yeah.
I guess we'll see what other people do around the world. There's still more racing.
That would be a sick rematch if Bryce and Josh are the team and then Bryce is defending champ.
That would be really cool.
But he might not be the favorite.
Good for US. They win either way.
Yeah, 1:43.9.
Yeah, pretty badass. Pretty damn badass. Was his brother pacing that race or no?
I'm not sure. He paced at 15.
Oh, he paced your race.
Yeah, he came up to me in Boston and he said, "Hey."
In Boston. So
yeah, he's like, yeah. "Whiteman's dropped out. What are you going to do? Go through in 1:52.5? Are you cool with that?" He said, "Oh, by the way, I'm Josh." And I'm like, "I know who you are." I said, "Nice to meet you." I said,
not,
"Whatever you guys want to do."
Josh.
is it Jonah? What is it?
No, he's
Jackson. Or Jonah.
What's his brother's name's Josh?
What? No, he's Josh.
No, what I'm saying is he came.
It's confusing because there's three of them.
No,
they all start with J. Josh is the one who just broke the record. And then
yeah,
there's
so
Jonah
Josh
and
is the
Jackson.
One that came up to me and said, hi, my name's Josh Huey. He said my brother's pacing to 152.5.
I thought you meant the pacer introduced himself.
No, he introduced himself, said, my brother's pacing, Whiteman's dropped out. Are you okay with this
nice,
pacing? And I
nice,
said, yeah.
Nice.
I said, no, I know who you are. Nice to meet you. Yeah. He said, I'm a massive fan of the podcast.
Do you actually?
Yeah.
Really?
His dad as well. His dad shook my hand. He said, oh, we're big fans of you and the boys. And I think he's been training with Rinaldi, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Not really
his
with.
Strong coach.
Trained by him. But
I think he coached him. I think his dad facilitates maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. Something but like I know there's association there.
For sure. Last couple of years, I think.
Yeah. So, but yeah, he's a cool guy.
Yeah.
So yeah,
he does seem to be training pretty hard.
He's been crushing it. He's been absolutely crushing it. So on to the Wanamaker Miles, which yeah, had the big introductions, the sparks flying. Is that, I guess that's a cool feeling, huh?
They kind of went out like halfway through my stride, I feel. Like, I think my introduction was like so long that like by the time they told me to go, it was like, oh, they were like already done with the sparklers. Well,
mistimed that one. The women's were first, and this was a chaotic race because there were so many talented people out there. And they didn't go with the pacemaker. I don't think the
second week in a row, though.
I don't think the pacing was crazy. I think they were very
capable. It was supposed to be. It was supposed to be like 2:07 or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. So world record pace. But it didn't seem like maybe that was last week. The screen. I don't know. Maybe the pacemaker slowed down when they saw no one was going there. But it meant there was a massive big pack, which always leads to some carnage. Unfortunately, our women and didn't have the best races, and Jacinta, she's just been struggling finding her legs a little bit. And I don't know, I haven't spoken to Maya yet, so I don't know exactly how she's feeling, but they were kind of at the back, and it was tough. If you're at the back of that race, I think it's going to be tough to work around when everyone got going, because at that point, everyone has pretty crazy kicks. And it looked like, to me, it looked like you couldn't tell who was going to win until like the last
meet-up. It was very much like you get your betting cards out and try.
I thought
that
Heather McLean was going to win. I think she thought that she had won.
I think she did think that.
I think she thought the finish line was like 2 meters closer.
And then Georgia Bell,
who also wants to come on the podcast. She came up and gave me a hug and she said, "Hey, I'm a big fan of the podcast. Can I come on?" I said,
"Absolutely.
We'll talk to George and Morgan and see if we can get you on." But she's freaking class. So it's pretty awesome to see. And then Nikki, they were third. Who was second?
Heather was second.
And then
it was crazy.
To be honest, with Maya and Cinta having a chat with them about it, I think the workout they did before Boston was like pretty fucking hard. And I think for them coming into Boston, that workout definitely maybe didn't put them in a position to feel very, very fresh. And then after that, I think leading into Milrose, freshening up and stuff, I think it's just a hard thing to navigate for them, because they've been training really well. They both said that they've got some really good training in. It's just sometimes things don't come through as well. But
it seemed like maybe they were banking on it being really fast. And so then the positioning, like mid-pack to second half of the pack, it's probably fine. Like you can pick people off. Everyone's going to be running like 64 points. And it ended up they're running 67.68. And then once you're positioned... like a little bit further back, it's just so hard to get around.
Yeah, if you know
eight girls that can run close to 60 the last lap.
Exactly.
So, I think it was more positioning than, like, it's obviously not an issue of fitness for them.
Yeah, they didn't seem like they're like, oh, crap, like, that was really difficult.
I feel like it's a good learning.
Tactical frustration.
It's a good learning race for indoors.
Yeah, and they got more races coming up soon, so
back on the ground.
Mm-hmm. So then on to the Wanamaker Mile. The historic race.
Woohoo.
I heard it was electric. Like I heard Cinta told me, like when they announced you, like it was like goosebumps. Like the crowd was just
It was super loud.
Crazy.
No, they were going like nuts for me. Yeah. Like it kinda happened as they should.
I mean, you are definitely one of the most likable people in the mid distance.
Thanks.
More public.
I guess they don't do the same intros in the 3K. Did Cole and Grant get also big receptions?
Grant got a big one.
When Grant said the world record, it sounded crazy.
Yeah.
Really?
Like, even just through the broadcast that you could...
Grant and Cole got a big announcement.
And everything I saw from his victory lap.
His celebration was kind of sick too. Like, you got the crowd pumped up. But I guess they don't do the same intros for the 3K, so...
They just
That
did.
Makes sense that the mile had a big one.
Yeah. But, I don't know. I always loved, like, how hype Milrose feels and just... Probably like the most hype indoor race, in my opinion, that we get to do every year. I think like the more I've grown, and like every time I come back to Milrose, it's like, oh, like people care about me like more and more and more.
It makes sense when you've won the last two, and then in the last year you got a medal at the Olympics.
Yeah. So everything after I medal, I feel also has just been like, oh my God, it's Yaren.
Amazing. And did you request a specific pace?
I kind of left it up to Dathan because basically he was kind of just like, or he was like, Josh has like kind of put his input on what he wanted before he dropped out, obviously. But he was kind of like, I'd rather have it be like a little slower anyway, because Josh was like, well, I'd rather it be like 153, and Dathan agreed, just to like, just so it would be more like not, you know, he felt like last year I went out too fast and I didn't really have that much at the end. Whereas like 2 years ago I got closer and it was like, we weren't even going for it. So he's like, yeah, let's go at 153. And then, but I want the pacer to like start a little slower and kind of like progress. I don't know that actually how it turned out.
It's kind of a lot of pressure. It did.
But looking at the splits, yeah. Abe crushed it.
Abe was amazing.
Once he was through a lap, I was like, oh, it's on. Because I remember when Yomif was going for it, and they went out in like 26 seconds, it was over, like immediately. But Abe went out in 57 and then went 55.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, because I feel like it felt like it was getting quicker, which I think was just really important just to like not get complacent during the race, where it's just like, you know, you feel like there's one more tick, you got to keep going every lap, basically.
The momentum feels good.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it was hard.
Yeah, what? How far did Abe make it?
He got to 1K. He did like kind of say like he could have gone 1200 to Dathan before, but Dathan was like, nah, I only want him to go like 1K. Like, you got this after that. And I was like, all right.
I mean, in the mile, it doesn't sound, I mean, I've never been in the position that you were in that race, but then it's like three laps, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, let's just get through three laps.
And yeah.
You got to feel kind of confident. Like, I'm assuming you're feeling pretty good.
No, yeah, I think like, because last year was only they went through like 800. I think that you feel like, God, I have like half the race left. But I think, you know, when you go through 1K, it kind of feels more like, oh, like we're almost done at this point. And so, you know, obviously the race was mostly just like me hanging out behind this pacer for all of it. And then, you know, kind of like when he comes off, I'm just like, screaming in my head, like, do not let up, like not even for like 1 second, because, you know, I think it's so easy. And every Milrose I think I'd done beforehand, it was like there's kind of like a little, that third quarter kind of like you lose the gas a little bit. So I was kind of trying a little harder, like to intentionally like at least not slow down at the very least. And then, you know, we kind of like finally we get to like that last 200, and I didn't feel like quite as like poppy, I think, because like I had spent so much energy just like continuing a fast pace. But I still had like, you know, like a little something, something. I think Mario or someone was joking. It's like, it wasn't even like your fastest last 100 or something was the,
we were starting to panic, cause I was with Cinta and Maya, and you didn't look, you could see visually, you didn't have the pop that you usually have for that last 200. And Hobbs was like literally on top of you.
Could you feel him?
No, he was clipping my heels like the entire race. Also,
yeah, he was right on you.
Which, I mean, no offense, cause it's mostly my stride is terrible.
But he like, and he talked about it with me after the race, like trying to pass you in your stride in indoors is almost like impossible. Like for him, he had to be like right on you. And then when he got to the back straight, he was like, time to go. So he tried to go, but you held him off just enough. When he got to the bend, it was over. Like he couldn't get around you. But he had to run like pretty insanely fast to get around you again, which wasn't going to happen, because at that point you would hit a speed that you were just holding, and that was the race. But it was a point where we were looking, and me and Cinta and Maya were like, shit, Hobbs is moving up.
And he did give you a good run for your money this year, I feel like.
No, he did. Like, I knew he was close. I didn't know he was like kind of coming on my edge on that backstretch. I was kind of thinking on the backstretch like, okay, this is where someone would pass me. So like, don't, so like, you know, yeah, I'm like trying to like at least act like I'm going a little faster. But you know, I think I go back and I saw that race and I was like, oh yeah, he looked like he was going to, but I think I was just going like just fast enough to hold that off a little bit. So that was nice, thankfully.
Yeah. Well, you led Hobbs through also under the old record, shout out to Hobbs. And then you led the fastest indoor mile of all time. I think it was 8 people under 350.
So yeah. Nice.
Absolutely bananas times. Our teammate Robert Falcon also, he went out right behind Hobbs, and then he was very aggressive as well. I think he just wanted to, like after last week, he had to do a lot of work. So I think he really just wanted to be attached and in it. And he fell off a little bit in the last lap or so, and guys came through, but still hung on to break three. Did he run faster than last week?
No.
I don't think he did.
But his last 100 was like really slow. Like he just dropped off.
Yeah.
Like he was right there, and he just said, he said that the last 100, he's like, I was just trying to stay on my feet. Which meant that, like, I think for him, he was in a position where he could have run insanely well and been up there with you guys well under 350 or just breaking 350. So I mean, he was pretty happy.
He found the limit. That was
I do feel like impressive. That's kind of what you want though. Like at least like compared to the alternative, just like not feeling like you gave it everything you had, and then you're just like, oh shoot, like I should have done XYZ. When it's like, oh, I gave it everything I had, and like I just ran out of gas. It's like, yeah. You know, you still got to be like proud of yourself.
Especially when you list you ran 3:49 the week before.
Yeah,
it's like you wanna test yourself and see how it goes. But yeah, there was a slew of people that came through to make some absolutely crazy results. Cam Meyer, our Aussie compatriot, younger brother. Yeah, how old is that guy? Like 16?
18.
Yeah.
Far out.
Man. Kids these days, man.
3:47.48 under 20 world record.
Was the under 20 world record before? Like he broke it running 3:53
2 weeks ago. He
3:55 or something. 3:55. Yeah. So he split so that much time on it, 8 seconds in a couple of weeks into the world record, and he's just absolutely crazy. And he looks good. Like he looks real good because he did go out. Like he wasn't right on you guys, but he had a really strong finish to get ahead of Hobbs, who also. I think Hobbs was kind of behind. Like he looked pretty strong in the race. And then we also had Gary Martin running 3:48, which like didn't even really get mentioned or anything. Another college kid running 3:48, narrowly missing the collegiate record. But it's like,
man, I wanted him to get the collegiate record. Like, that would have been such a good storyline.
He doesn't even get talked about that much, and he's so good.
He's so also you meet him or you see him around, and he's just so chill.
The nicest bloke.
So chill. He doesn't put anything on himself. He's just like walking around, hanging out, having a good time, which I kind of like because I think for him, like having that kind of aura going into NCAAs, I think he could fucking.
Do you want to hear Mario's comparison?
What's his Mario's comparison?
Is he telling you this too?
No, I haven't heard this.
He said that Ethan Strand and Parker Wolf are like Colin Cooper and Gary Martin's Yared.
Okay, honestly, after like hearing this description, that's kind of what I'm feeling. It makes sense
now. Yeah. Like Gary Martin's like the nice, likable. The people's.
He's very, very likable.
He's the people's champ.
Was he like fourth or fifth?
Yeah.
Fifth, I believe.
Yeah. See, I wonder like kind of how all these young kids like see me, because like obviously I'm not that old, I'm like 25, but like everyone is just like Hobbs is like 21 and they're all like in their teens or whatever.
I forget how young he is as
like
well.
Do they just think I'm some like old guy that just like, no, but is so
the
good
a lot of the races man right now, I mean look at half the best middle distance guys in the world now are probably around 21 22 years of age.
Yeah,
I mean Laros is like 19.
Similar, same age. 20,
yeah, you got Cam, 20. You have Hobbs. 19. I mean, Jakob is still kind of young.
He's like 21, isn't
younger
he?
Than me. So,
so like,
Jakob is younger than you.
Yeah, he's 24. Jeez. It's so sad.
So you have all these young guys. Like it's become now like everyone's not. I'm not saying they're peaking because they're probably going to get better and better, but they're getting to a very high level a lot earlier in their careers now. I think. Or they're just, because it can't just be one guy, you know, it's all these guys. So they're perfecting training and they're doing the right things early, and it's these results are coming through.
Yeah. I reckon if you won an NCAA title before COVID, they think you're really old.
Yeah.
Because <And that's>, yeah. Gary Martin was probably in, like when you won your first NCAA title, how many did you win, two?
I technically won like one outdoor and then the DMR indoors. That was the same year though, like sophomore year.
He was probably in middle school. Yeah. So he was probably like watching on YouTube, like, ah, this old
Cam
guy.
Was getting born.
This guy. Cam was not born.
Yeah, he wasn't born yet.
Like, so they probably do think like, yeah. That guy's been around for a while. He's pretty old. I think that dates you. Because even Hobbs, I did not think of being his 21-year-old. Because he's just been...
No, because he's been around for so long, it feels.
Well, he ran 3:34 in high school.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, he did.
Crazy. But, yeah, that was the race. I can't imagine how it felt for you out there, because watching it on my screen, it was a crazy, crazy experience. What was the... Have you soaked it on? I feel like you're very good at this.
Yeah.
Have you soaked it in? Have you celebrated...
Yeah, no, we definitely celebrated and definitely soaked it in, I think. I feel like, you know, I thought I was kind of sitting in drug testing, just hanging out with, like, Hobbs, who was able to pee infinitely faster than me. But I was kind of just, like, thinking about it and, you know, like, world records are kind of funny because, you know, like, no one else has ever run that fast, like, indoors. And, like, when you really think about that, I'm just like, there's, like, so many people on this earth. And there's been, like, running for so long. And, yeah, I'm just like... better than all those guys. but, you know, like, seriously, I think it's just, I don't know. It feels like you're kind of, like, a part of history a little bit when you set, like, a world record like that. And, you know, I've been, like, close enough to where it felt like this wasn't, like, crazy out of reach or, like, something absolutely stunning that I did. But it's still, like, you know, to actually do it feels like completely different than like running like a second slower like I did last year. So it's really cool. It's really fun. And I don't know. I kind of want it outdoors because outdoors, you know, that's real, real. So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Keep it going.
So well, you probably got the workout for a week. So
yeah, I don't want to. Should we?
I don't want to burst your bubble. But
I don't know, man. I think it's hard.
It is hard, but there is one guy that can do it. There is, and then it's just being honest with it. Like I reckon you'll break it again. I reckon you'll run quicker.
The day this podcast comes out, actually, it's probably to the hour.
Nice.
he's definitely looked at your race and he's like, okay, this is where I have to be.
You know, he did actually follow me back on Instagram.
What? Yeah. Only recently?
And he said, thanks, they were good job and everything. Yeah. Because, you know, I'd followed him back when we were hanging out in St. Moritz or whatever. Yeah. And then he finally followed me back after this race and I was like,
It took a world record.
I had to do a world record by myself, and then he was like, "Okay, cool. Respect.
I respect you now." There's nothing he can really say about you.
How about did someone who dropped out of the race say nice job?
No, he didn't. But I'm sure he was very, you know.
I'm sure he was thinking it.
No, I'm sure he was bummed out about missing it and whatnot. I feel like it was because I feel like Dathan kind of mentioned it. As like a rumor has it, like, you know, he's not going to be doing it. And it got out like a couple hours later, basically.
Yeah. There was rumors from the agents, but it was funny when they told us that we were sitting there and I watched Yard's eyes and I could just see the excitement just drift away. Because you were definitely very excited to, I mean, because you're a competitor, right? You want the best people in this race. You want to compete against Josh, and Josh does like to talk. So it's nice to silence those words with results, but... He unfortunately wasn't able to race, and I could see that excitement drain from your eyes. And then I was just thinking, and then I was like, well, now you're just going to have to go and do it on your own.
No, yeah.
Which you did.
It's like the strategy of the race didn't change because Dathan kind of had a similar strategy in mind no matter what. He was like, it'd just be better if you were at the front the whole time. Yeah. And I agreed. And, you know, Hobbs did, like, give me a run for my money a little bit. So, like, this is no diss on Hobbs. But I think having Josh there would have been, like, you know, extra cool and see, like, you know, would he have been there, like, actually, like, on my side, like, pushing me to run, like, even faster? Like, would he have gotten me? Like, you know, it's like, you know, you kind of want it to happen just you want him to be there. He's, like, a really good competitor. So,
you know,
we're bummed, but hopefully he gets better soon.
Mm-hmm. I can tell you guys how locked in Grant is on race day.
I was going to say the same
thing. You picked this up as well?
Yeah.
In his post-race interview, he didn't know that Josh wasn't racing. That's how locked in he is.
I was about to say that.
Like, that just shows he doesn't go on social media and he doesn't really, like, talk to, like, everyone out there.
I did see him and Sean up at warm-up, like, and they didn't even speak to each other.
Man is focused.
Yeah, I was just like, wow, that guy's locked in. That's impressive.
Like, we were cool at warming up, and then we kind of said hello to him, and then Dylan, Kai, and I ran past, and then Sean McGordy ran past Grant, and he, like, ran past him, then ran back, then ran past him, and Dylan just looks at him and he goes, dude, if that was one of you boys, I'd have slapped you on the ass and gotten revved up, but those guys were locked in, they didn't even say a word to each other.
Yeah.
And we were just talking absolute smack in our warm-up, so.
I think to ask you one, like, kind of, like, typical journalistic question, because I think everyone at home would love to hear, like, what do you think is different in the lead-up to this race that allowed you to achieve, if anything, such a fast time?
Yeah, I think, honestly, like, I knew I was capable of it, like, last year. I felt like I could have if the race had been, like, a little different or worked out a little differently. But I think the biggest thing was just, like, my medal from last year at the Olympics. I think, like, that, the confidence that medal gave me was, like, it was pretty huge. I feel, even though I didn't win, it was still, like, I am, like, one of the best 1500-meter runners in the world right now. And it's, you know, just to have that in hardware form, because I hadn't really, like, gotten a medal at any outdoor world-ish championships before. You know, I feel like that kind of just solidified in my head that, you know, I can go out and do these things that, you know, I might not have thought were possible in the past. I can go out and run like 3:46 because, you know, and just do it like basically out front the whole time because like I'm just me. I'm fast enough to do that. So, you know, I think it was just really huge just be able to, you know, get that confidence and then use that the whole last year, honestly. But specifically that Olympics race was just, you know, I think really huge into the momentum and getting this year. I wanted to just really start off on the right foot. So
amazing. Confidence.
Good answer.
Confidence right there.
Great answer.
Well, as we wrap up, do we want to talk about Swoosh TC, the announcement.
Dude, this is like, Nike have done some pretty bad things in the past, and this is probably one of them. I mean, like, I love to rant about this, and when it came out, I just laughed. Like, I wonder what other professional running brand has done a thing similar to that, where they've tried to rebrand stuff and then set up all these little teams everywhere. Mm-hmm. But it does seem like they're trying to create some sort of similar thing to OAC, where it's all under the same name. Like, Under Armour has their own Mission Run thing, and then we have OAC, and then now they have Swoosh Running. It's great to see Jajit get a position like this, because I think, like, she's an amazing coach, and it's cool to have somebody, like, a base in Utah. It looks like a base in Flag, and then they have the Eugene base with Jerry. I was kind of hoping they'd move away from Jerry in that system, but
you can't get away from Jerry.
You can't get away from Jerry, and they're also probably paying him way too much money for it. But all those Bauman athletes are now going to be moving to that, and then Bauman's going to become a recreational group.
Well, it already is volunteer run. Yeah, it already is.
Not become.
But it solely, it's going to be solely that.
Yeah.
And then they're going to revamp the old Oregon Track Club with...
Really?
Yeah.
With who?
With Jerry. What do you mean? The Swoosh version of it will be the old Oregon Track thing. What
is it? Is the Bauman guys becoming... The Swoosh TC.
What's Oregon Truck Club got to do with it?
I think Oregon Truck Club has already been gone for a couple of years.
They're revamping it. They're redoing it. We'll bring it back. Well, that's what I heard from Andy.
Yeah.
But I thought it was associated with Jerry, but maybe they're... Because it's going to be in Eugene, well, so...
They're just bringing it all under. Which is, it is like a sick name.
Yeah. Swoosh?
Yeah.
I don't like it.
You don't like
Swoosh? I reckon it's shit. Yeah. Really? I reckon they could have done Blue Ribbon or something cool like that. Like, they've had so many opportunities to do something cool, but Swoosh just sounds stupid to me. It sounds... Doesn't sound like our sport, actually. It sounds like basketball.
Really? Mm.
But that's just my personal opinion. I think, honestly, what they should have done is they should have cut Jerry out. They should have... Even though I love Jerry. They should have cut Jerry out. They should have had Dijit. They should have had Mike. And then they should have had the Sova guys. They should have done that. And then have those three kind of work together. But I don't know. I reckon that name's shit. But that's my opinion. I mean, I guess OAC, what OAC is probably very basic as well. But I don't know. Nike kind of, I don't know. Talking to Grant about it, it was just kind of funny because there's resentment towards it in some form.
From him?
Well, not from him. Just from, I think, Nike athletes in general. Really? Just, I think they just get shafted way too much from the... They don't get helped as much as they could by a brand that has so much money and so much resources.
Well, it seems like that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah, it does seem like that.
Seems like a move in that direction.
I don't know why they wouldn't push for something different other than something that's not working. Like, something with Jerry's clearly not working because everyone's leaving, right?
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm sad that there's no more Bauman Pro Team just because I grew up as a fan, as a supporter. Sorry, this you probably can't hear on the mic, but there's a dog going crazy just above us, and it sounded like they're in the room. But I think it's actually like finally a smart marketing move for them.
It's better than anything they've done recently.
I don't really understand. Yeah. Well,
I love how they hit. I love how they had Evan as the first photo in the on the goodbye post. I mean, he was like the OG Bauman athlete.
I feel like either him or Mo should have been like they're kind of the.
Or you could have done someone that was OG,
Chris.
Like Chris, yeah. Or Tate Swinsky. Camp, or Jerry. Yeah.
Just a photo of Jerry.
Photo of Jerry. Yeah.
But I mean, I am very harsh, but I also think if you're trying to revamp something, you know, Dijit for me is like that's pretty cool.
She's obviously had a lot of people join her team. Why does it seem so quiet about anyone going to Flag?
Yeah, that's so true.
Like, there's like a photo of Diljit and freaking 10 Nike girls.
Yeah. Mike's just trying to play it cool, man.
Mike is playing it. He's playing his cards cool. Real close to his chest.
Guys, he's got to be recruiting stuff, right?
I feel like that's... he's always been like that, hasn't he? Like, you know him pretty well. Does he seem like the sort of guy? Like, Diljit seems like that sort of person.
He's
going
to have to, though, as a pro coach. Well, I guess you don't have to.
Yeah, I mean, in the general sense of, like, Diljit doesn't seem like the sort of person that would... play that. She'll play the card that she likes to play, which is like she likes to show herself with her athletes and she likes to promote them. Whereas Mike kind of likes to just do chop wood, carry water, and then just work hard.
Yeah.
Kind of his vibe. Whereas Jerry's just Jerry's no comment.
Jerry's the same. Jerry's like Mike. Like
no comment.
They're like silent. Like they like.
Can you imagine them on a group Zoom meeting? Dijit would be running the show.
Yeah, it'd be fun. I'd like to be part of that Zoom.
And then Mike and and Jerry would have their like mic on, but then their screen would be muted.
Yeah.
So like on the call, you'd just see Jajit, and then she'd be like, "Hey, you guys there?" And then there'd be like a silence for like 5 seconds. Like, yeah, we're here.
Well, maybe we'll talk about it more in the coming weeks because I don't actually really understand how it works from an organizational standpoint. And
they
all
have
things, but
like emblem, uniform, nothing has been announced, right? It's just the name.
I guess it's probably starting next year. Is it starting next year? Is it already starting? I guess it must have already been starting because Bauman just announced that they no longer exist.
Yeah.
And I was really confused because I saw Kieran Tuntavit racing in Boston and he was just wearing the pro Nike kit. And I was like, is he not on Bauman anymore? And then
the next day
I found that Bauman doesn't exist. What was Sean wearing?
McGordy was wearing regular uniform. He wasn't wearing
just normal Nike.
Nike. So I guess it literally just doesn't exist anymore.
Okay, what are the odds Shelby joins Swoosh? Right now. She keeps running
the way that she's running, I think.
She ran 4:20, 4:19.
I think it might be somewhat political. I think there's people at the big brands, at many of the brands that say like, no, you can't do that right now.
You can't sign her?
Yeah. I think
otherwise they would have. Do you reckon she'll get a contract at some point?
Yeah.
Do you reckon it'll be Nike?
I don't know. Maybe some other brand that doesn't...
Like Kipron?
It doesn't have as much like... Because the big brands, Nike, they get held to the highest standards.
But they can also let things slip through the cracks a lot easier, I think. I think people ignore things like that when it's a bigger brand.
No, I think they don't. I think they get roasted for them more.
You don't think... Yeah, I think Nike wouldn't get roasted as much as On would if they signed somebody like that.
I think when I say like the big brands, I'm saying On's a big brand. I think On would get destroyed as well.
So just anything that's like one of the more.
I think there's more obscure brands could get away with it more.
Like, I don't know.
Like 361, a Chinese brand. Like literally, like who's gonna
question that?
Who's gonna care if they do it or Kipron? Like, yeah, seriously, I think it won't be as big of a deal. But is there anything else for today? Yeah, thank you so much for coming on again. Is there any other words you'd like to give to other fans? I know everyone will be so, so happy that you joined us once again.
I'll say one, thank you all for cheering for me so loudly. I hear you, and I appreciate it. And truly best of luck to Jakob this week. I'm not really one of those guys who would like want a record for like 20 years or something. That sounds really, really boring and lame, but...
You're the records are meant to be broken guy.
Yeah, like I think it's just like if it becomes like stagnant, it's like, you know, that just means track and field isn't growing. So if anything, I'm all about chasing the next highest thing. So best of luck to him.
The shitty thing with the indoor records is you get like one chance a year.
Yeah. like you don't get the multiple, run. Yeah.
I think it'd be funny though, Dayton, like if he breaks it, Dayton's like, okay, no, you're running the mile at BU, you're gonna go do it again.
I think your mentality, I think, is very healthy and actually very, very competitive. And I think that's an awesome mentality. I reckon Dayton's mentality would be like, no, I want you to have this record. We're going back next week to do it so that way you have it for longer.
I mean, it's funny because like they kind of stole my spikes. They're like, Dre was like, I was like, oh, I'm going to get my spikes back. So, like, they took them. And they're like, oh, Ray was like, yeah, you're not getting those back till like, a lot later. Like, they send them to Monaco. And, like...
Wait, did they actually, like, cut them open? Or
I don't...
They do?
Like, they said they'll give them back.
They'll test them with the model that they have in, like, the safe. They have, like, a safe with all the shoes that they declare. They'll take it and they'll compare it and then they'll send it back.
But
won't get those spikes back anyway. Because I think Ray, the army will buy them off you.
Make sure there's not a plate.
Well, that was the thing. Yeah. On was like, oh, well, like, we'd love to have those spikes to put...
Yeah, so
museum.
They might have a competitive
and
thing.
I was like, cool, the but they took them from me, so I don't know.
I was talking to the Armory people.
They want them.
And they want to buy them off you. So they're nice. Your spikes.
Bidding war, let's go.
I reckon you should auction them between, because On obviously want them and the Armory wants them, but I think you should auction it off like to the highest bidder.
I don't think, can I just say no to On? I feel like, I mean, I'd probably rather.
Well, you know the Armory, you know that wall, like when you walk into the Armory and they have all that history stuff there? That's where they want to put it.
Yeah.
Because
what you do is you sell them off and then you just send them a pair that looks the same.
Actually, you should do that. Just don't tell them.
Nobody's going to know.
Yeah. No, honestly, Jordy's right.
Well, I'm going to start making some fake Yard pants. Sound the mini bears. Oh, it's a genius idea. Oh, yeah, thank you so much for joining us once again. It's been lovely to have you on. And thank you so much to everyone for listening to this episode of the podcast. We look forward to seeing you guys all again next week. Bye-bye.